All right, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I thought for sure we would finish this morning, but as I studied, pages began to build up, and I said, I don't know. I don't think we're going to finish this book today. But you never know. Colossians chapter 4, we, of course, verse number 1 went with the last chapter. But beginning in verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word. We thank you for it. Lord, we're so thankful that we have the Word of God readily available in our land. And Lord, we pray that would continue, that we would not lose that freedom. Help us, Lord, to continue to pray and continue, Lord, to vote as intelligently as we can, that our freedoms will not be stolen from us. Lord, we rest in you. We pray that you'd speak to each of our hearts personally and intimately through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, that if there's one here without absolute assurance that when they leave this place, they will be in your presence, or if you rapture the church, they would be among the raptured. God, please touch their hearts. Draw them to yourself. Save those that are lost. Bring glory to your name. You alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 4, Paul is talking about words. Words are pretty powerful, aren't they? I can't remember if it was Rush Limbaugh or what, but it's not an uncommon saying, so whether he actually originally said it or not, probably not. But words mean things, don't they? They matter. If you go to a doctor and you've had a test and they're checking for cancer, and the doctor comes into the room and says, "I've got great news for you. The test came back negative. There is no cancer." Man, that's reason to rejoice, right? And we'll rejoice, we'll shout with praise. But yet on the other hand, if you stand before a judge and that judge says you are condemned to death, even if you deserved it, you're condemned to death, or you're condemned to a lifetime in prison. Not very good news, is it? Words can cause us to rejoice. Words can deliver us from hardship or heartache, or words can condemn us. God has given us the power of speech as a gift. We have to choose how we're going to use words. We all use them. We all communicate. And there are, of course, many ways that we can use words. God wants us to use words in the way that he has ordained. And he's given us many instructions and warnings about using words. We've gone over that passage in James chapter 3, where James brought out the power of words. How words are like a ship's rudder. That ship might be gigantic and have just a little itty-bitty rudder in comparison to the size of the ship, and yet that ship is steered by that little rudder. Or you put a bridle and a bit in a horse's mouth. You put that bit in a horse's mouth, and you can take a 1,000 or 2,000 pound horse and you can steer them like a car, you know, by pulling the reins, and that bit is uncomfortable, and they'll respond to that. Or fire is a wonderful thing. It would be very hard for me to grill my chunks of meat without fire. It comes in mighty handy, you know what I'm saying? But if that same fire is not controlled, it can burn down thousands upon thousands of acres. Houses can be burned down, burned to ashes. Not a very good use of fire, but fire that's controlled is a wonderful thing. What a tool. So words that are controlled can be wonderful. But words out of control can be destructive. The difference between a bitter spring and a pure, flowing spring of wonderful water. The tongue has power to direct, it has power to destroy, and it has power to delight. Wiersbe gives us in his book, if you don't have his commentaries, you can get the Old Testament in 2 volumes and the New in 2 volumes. He did them all as individual books over a period of decades. He's with the Lord now and has been for quite a while. But he writes about 4 important ministries involving speech in this chapter. 4 important ministries involving speech. Number 1, prayer. Verse 2 in the first part of verse number 3. Continue in prayer and watch. Be alert, being alert to needs. In the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance or an opportunity. When Paul said continue in prayer, he's telling us to be steadfast, to be persistent in our prayers. Remember Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, not to give up. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18, said to pray without ceasing. Now, obviously, God is not telling us that we are to constantly, as we drive, as we walk, as we work, as we play, whatever we're doing, as we eat, that we consistently, constantly be praying. But certainly our attitude should be such that as God prompts our hearts or as we see a need, that's why I think it's important for us to be just a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more observant of each other. I want you to think about this. Now, we're a small family, but I consider us a family. When I pray, I ask God to bless my family and my church family, because that's what God sees us as. Even if we don't see ourselves as God's family, we are God's family. And I've learned over almost 40 years of ministry, I've learned more and more about the love of God, and my love for you as a people has grown and continues to grow. My concern for you is very real. I don't do this to make a living. I couldn't make a living on what I make, nor would I expect to. I'm not here for money. I'm here because, number one, God wants me here, but number two, because I love you. You may not have much here compared to a lot of churches, a lot of activities, and a lot of different things, but I'll guarantee you that you have a pastor that personally loves you. Not just as a group. Yeah, that's my church. No, individually. I pray for you individually. I am concerned for you individually. That's why I delight when I get a text, which is a convenience we have today. If I get a text and you ask me to pray, I consider that a privilege, and I do pray. But I also consider it kind of hurts me a little bit. I'm just a big, huggable little fuzzball. I'm so sensitive inside. I'm like hard and crusty on the outside, but I'm a pile of mush inside. When I get a word from you about something that's already occurred, that I could have and should have, and would have delighted in praying about after it's ready. A couple of things it tells me. I know that we get busy and we forget, and you got family to contact and on and on. I know all that, and I understand that. I do. I really do. But I think if we really, 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 really believe in the power of prayer, I don't know about you, but one man that I would want to pray for me would be my pastor. Does that make sense? Shake your head if you think that's true. Yeah. Yeah, so I like to know before the fact. Yeah, so-and-so just went surgery, everything went, what? He or she had surgery and you didn't let me know so I could pray? That kind of tells me that some may not really, truly, from the heart, believe in the power of prayer. If you really, 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 really believe that God hears and answers prayer, number one, you and I would pray, and number two, you would desire that others pray. So as a family, don't be afraid to share your heart. Don't be afraid to share your needs. You're not being a baby, or you're not being whiny, or you're not being a trouble or a burden. Allow us the privilege to pray. It's important, and it works. Prayer and worship are two of the most important uses of the gift of speech. Giving praise to God, you know, that's the fruit of our lips. Giving praise to our God. The Apostle Paul, now I'm going to tell you something. Other than the Lord Jesus, I think the greatest Christian in, of course, New Testament Christian, Old Testament believer, any way you want to look at it, back in the old, they look forward to the cross, we look back. Paul would be number two in my book. The greatest Christian in the history of the church other than Christ, who is the head of the church. And yet, what did he do? He asked for prayer. With all praying also for us. I love to hear, like if we take an offering or whatever, it doesn't happen as much as it used to. Praying for the preacher. Praying for the message. I don't hear that much anymore. Used to hear it all the time. Think about it. When you hear men pray, it's not a criticism. It's a plea. There's a difference. I'm not criticizing your prayers. I'm saying, hey, what about me? I need help. Paul knew he needed help. He wasn't, hey, and his prayer request was not pray that God will get me out of this place. The Apostle Paul reached people in prison that he would have never been able to reach any other way. Even some of Caesar's household were saved because of his imprisonment in Rome. I need prayer. I trust that you're praying that God will use the messages. Because no matter what the words are, now I know it has to be the word of God for there to be power in it, but it also needs to be energized by the Spirit of God. And so does our prayer. Our prayers need to be energized by the Spirit of God that reminds us that when we do not know how to pray as we ought, He will pray through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So you might ask, how can I, Pastor, have a satisfying and a fruitful prayer life? And I am delighted that you've asked, because we're going to answer that question. Number one, pray faithfully. How can I have a satisfying, fulfilling, purposeful prayer life? Continue in prayer, steadfast, devoted, don't give up. Pray often. Many Christians only pray occasionally, and when they pray, it's because the bottom is falling out of their life. So they go to the glove box of the car, they pull Jesus out, and they begin to pray. Some are even more cold and callous. They don't want him in the cabin of the car, so they put him in the trunk and take him out at certain times. Prayer should be to the Christian like breathing. As essential to our spiritual well-being as breathing, taking oxygen in our lungs, is for our physical health. But prayer is work. If it wasn't work, more people would do it. And again, if we truly believed in the power of prayer, would we not pray? The Lord does delight in answering our prayers, but sometimes He chooses to delay the answer. And you know, a delay in the answer to a prayer can actually be a faith-building experience. Because we know that God said he hears and answers us, so we're waiting for the answer. And in the meantime, as we search the scripture, because we want to remain in the center of God's will, God works in our hearts. He builds our faith. Because you know what? Sometimes we have to be prepared for an answer, because the answer might be no. Or the answer might be wait, be patient. So number one, pray faithfully, persistently, consistently, devotedly, steadfastly. Number two, pray watchfully. Second part of verse number two. And watch in the same. I think watch there can mean paying attention to needs around us. You know, God likes specifics. And so to be sensitive, picking up on things that we can pray for, people we can pray for. I mean, it's wonderful to pray for all the missionaries, but what if there's a missionary out there that's preaching a false gospel and we've just prayed that God would bless them, right? I always add, if I want to, you know, I don't know all of our missionaries, Southern Baptist, we can get the names, but there's hundreds and hundreds of them that are supported by the convention. We pray for a family every week, and then we have missionaries we know personally, and the Lord might bring to mind somebody that we have prayed for in the past. So when I do pray more of a blanket prayer, which is not as effective, I pray, Lord, please bless those missionaries that are proclaiming the truth of the gospel in its entirety. I don't want somebody that, I heard of a guy that went to Mexico as a missionary, not Southern Baptist missionary, but he went to Mexico, and he doubled as a race car driver, saying he was going to reach people through racing. And basically, what happened is a race car was financed, and the gospel wasn't getting out. So we got to pray intelligently as well as pray faithfully, correct? Our fellowship with God should be constant. Praying without ceasing involves, of course, that we have a walk with our God, because we're not going to have a heart for prayer if we don't have a heart for God. Begins with our relationship, our personal relationship with the living God. Spending time with him, fellowshipping with him. Ready to pray. There's a phrase, watch and pray, that is found in the Old New Testaments. Back in Nehemiah's day, when the wall was being rebuilt, they watched and prayed. Nehemiah 4:9. The Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, chapters 13 and 14, of course, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was betrayed, he went to pray and agonize before the Father. And he told Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, the big three disciples, he said, watch and pray. And we know that they were exceedingly weary and they fell asleep. They didn't intend to, but it happened. And the Lord knew their humanity. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:18, when he talked about putting on the whole armor of God and praying and offering supplication to God, we, of course, are to watch and pray. The two tools that we have, the two offensive weapons we have, our prayer and the Word of God. And of course, we have the Spirit of God. The only offensive weapon is prayer and the Word of God. And the Spirit uses both. Without God's Spirit, there'd be no power in the Word. Without God's Spirit, there'd be no power in prayer. We need both, don't we? Warren Wiersbe said this, and I quote, real praying demands spiritual energy and alertness. And this can come only from the Holy Spirit of God. Routine prayers are unanswered prayers. End of quote. Why did he say that? He said that because prayer should proceed out of the heart. I've heard men tell me over the years, Pastor, I can't pray out loud because I don't know what to say, or I'm not very educated, and the way things come out, it's not really very, very good. And then other men pray in the King James English, and I'm not criticizing that per se, but I just want you to know that God's not impressed when we do that. It's okay if somebody does that. You know, if you've been in the Word of God a lot and you like King James, you may pray that way, and that's fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying to the men that don't pray that way, that doesn't make God listen better because we know King James English. Does it? Of course not. So pray faithfully. Pray watchfully. Number three, pray thankfully. Oh, we mention that word a lot, being thankful, don't we? Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. It's one thing to ask. It's something else to be thankful when it happens. Now, we've been begging God. I don't know about you, but I've been begging God for rain. I really don't want to have to redig a well, especially when the first one, it took him 520 feet to get water. I mean, that wasn't cheap. That was $4,000 more than what the builder thought I would have to spend for a well. Went from $3,500 to $7,500 to build that. And that was almost 15 years ago. Can you imagine what it would cost now? So I remembered, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the rain. We often ask and seldom say thank you. And we should do that with each other as well. I stress that because it also shows the heart condition. Whenever I pray, I think as I pray, you know what I deserve? I don't deserve anything. Any prayer that God answers of my prayers is a gift because I don't deserve a single thing. I really mean that. I don't deserve anything. When we pray that way and we're thankful in our hearts when God does hear and answer our prayers, it helps us to remember that we are so undeserving. God, in His grace and mercy and love and goodness, He gives us these things because of who He is, not because of who I am or you are. God is a great God. He's a gracious God. Being thankful also helps to put energy in our prayers, doesn't it? Because it gives us the right attitude in prayer. Colossians is full of examples of thankfulness being included. Chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Chapter 2, verse number 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Chapter 3, verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse number 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father unto Him. And then, of course, our passage here in chapter 4 and verse number 2. Even being bound to a Roman soldier in prison, Paul still was thankful. Number four, how to have a fruitful and satisfying prayer life. Number four, pray purposefully. Pray purposefully. Praying also for us. Verse number 3. With all, or at the same time, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of or for utterance. He's talking about an opportunity to preach the gospel, to speak or declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So he's stressing the fact that prayer should be specific. When we offer petitions to God, specific. The Lord, you know, we want to get through prayer quickly. So sometimes we pray in generalities. Lord, bless all the missionaries. Heard the story, I've told you this story before, of a family that decided that they put all the grocery bags on the kitchen table and thank God for the food all at one time so we wouldn't have to do it for every meal. You know, that's praying in generalities, okay? Lord bless the church. What's that mean? You know? So God wants us, and to know specifics, we got to be interested in people and interested in individuals. We can't just go and sit down and not mingle and find out needs. You find out needs by talking to people, right? And a lot of people today won't share needs, and I understand that, don't want to be a burden or whatever. You know, we think of all kinds of things. And sometimes I guess, and I fail in this, I need to ask, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? What's the deepest need of your heart at this time? Again, I appreciate and I covered your prayers. Specific prayers, if we pray specifically, we're going to know very definitely if God heard and answered, aren't we? I mean, if I, you know, just kind of use a silly example, if I pray and ask God for a long sleeve blue shirt, preferably a lighter blue, and God sends me a light blue long sleeve shirt, all of a sudden somebody shows up and gives me that shirt, I'm probably going to think God probably heard and answered that specific prayer, right? So the more specific we are in prayer, the more specific God has to be. If he's going to answer yes, then we're going to know it. And boy, if that doesn't fire you up, that'll even make a dead Episcopalian shout. I'm not kidding you. That's the kind of stuff that makes you go Babticostal. You've heard of Babticostal, right? Do you remember when the apostles asked the Lord, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Would you teach us to pray? And then he gave what we often call the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. You know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Remember that part? So we pray not to try to have our will in the face of God, that he would honor our will, our desires, our purposes, but we pray that God's will, which is already determined, comes down to this earth and we align with the will of God. And that's a part of what prayer should be. Lord, I want your will in my life upon this earth. I want to be in the center of your will. My favorite passage on this subject is found in 1 John chapter 5, and you're going to recognize it if you don't know already where I'm going. But in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, what's the qualifier? According to his will. Because Jesus said in places like John's gospel, if you ask, you will receive. You ask with faith, believing. But in order for that to be true, we must be in God's will and pray accordingly. Because if we pray for our own thing outside of the will of God, God's not going to answer that prayer. And there are other things that hinder prayer. Psalm 66:18, if we regard or entertain iniquity in our hearts, God will not hear us. If we are not a born-again believer, in John's Gospel, chapter 9, I forget the verse, I think it's 31, don't hold me to it. God does not or is not obligated to hear the prayer of sinners. The prayer he wants to hear from a lost person is, God, save me, be merciful unto me. We also know that marital difficulties, if we don't live with our wives according to knowledge, that our prayers can be hindered because God doesn't want us fighting and fussing. And he said, I don't want you to let the sun go down upon your wrath. Get things settled. Don't go to bed angry. Take care of it. Most of the stuff we fuss and fight about is petty junk anyway. It doesn't matter to hill of beans. It's nonsense stuff. So settle it before you go to bed. You know how many nights my wife and I in 48 years spent apart because we were mad at each other? None. I don't care how angry we were with one another. We slept in the same bed. There was no couch nonsense and all this kind of garbage. That's ridiculous. What are we, third graders? Right? Besides, my wife was in the building. I had to be with her, man. I needed that warmth. I missed that. That's horrible. Sleeping alone? Man, I hate it. That's why I think I stay up later than I should, because I don't want to go to bed and be alone. I'm serious. Last night I went to bed early. It was midnight. I'm serious. I just don't want to go to bed. I hate it. But so don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. True prayer comes from the heart. So our hearts have to be in tune with God. And I guess I got like 6 minutes, and I don't want to go into talking about four important ministries involving speech. Number one is prayer. Number two is proclaiming the word. But if I get into it, I'm only going to get started and not get far enough. So I'm going to let you off the hook early. You guys owe me. Okay? And you can repay me in food if you want. I'm fine with that. Preferably chunks of meat or some kind of fruit pie like blueberry. Did you guys hear that blueberry? All right, let's stand together for a word of prayer. Hate to end on that note, but prayer, oh my, have we lost out on. It's really almost an art, though it's a privilege and a gift from God, and God's not impressed with flowery language and all that. God just wants to hear from us. You know that? He just wants to hear from you. Oh, I don't know how to. Oh, just let it out. Just talk to God like you would your best friend. And he'll hear you. Not flippantly. I'm not talking about coming to God like, you know, like, hey, big guy in the sky. God, no, don't refer to God as big guy in the sky. Or the man upstairs. Oh, I hate that. Oh. Our Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the instruction on prayer. And thank you for the Apostle Paul. What an example he was. A man of prayer and strength and dedication and sacrifice, even in prison. Lord, bless this invitation. May your will be done in every heart and every life. May we not leave without that need being met, especially if we're here without the Savior. Lord, I pray. As you've touched the heart of that one lost, please draw them all the way to the Savior. Give them the desire to come, even during this invitation, say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved or I'm not saved, but I want to be. I believe Jesus came and died upon that cross to pay my sin debt in full. I believe he was buried and rose again. And I want to receive him into my life as Savior and Lord. And I want to be forgiven of my sin. Lord, I pray that be the case. And Christians that maybe have let their prayer lives slide, Bible reading maybe is not like it ought to be, have little desire to witness, even giving a church brochure to anybody, a church card to anybody, or a gospel tract. God, I pray that you turn us around, light that fire under us, Lord. As time is running out, we see the end rapidly approaching. And Lord, may we be ready to meet you. In Jesus' name, amen.